First, let's just get straight. Our topography, our landscape. What does the parasha consist of? The bulk of the parasha deals with the Chanukas HaKohanim, the induction of the Kohanim, the Karbanos, the anointing process, how Aaron and his children become Kohanim. So I am of the belief that is the true subject of the parasha, the Kohanim becoming Kohanim. And anything else in the parasha is somehow intertwined with this Kohen theme. And I'll share with you a touching underscoring of this theme. In our parasha Tetzaveh, the commandment how to make them Kohanim is given. Which offerings to bring, which karbanos to bring, and the like. Well, in which parasha do they actually do it? Do they actually bring those karbanos and become Kohanim? Parashas Tzav. That is when Aaron Uvanov actually bring these karbanos. Tetzaveh, Tzav, same shoresh. And the word commandment, the root word commandment, which is a critical word to Kohanim, who are the servants who abide by a tzivu, abide by a commandment. Right, Tetzaveh and Tzav, these two twin parashas, becoming Kohanim, that is the theme of this parsha, Tetzaveh, as underscored later in Parsha Tzav. So with that in place, now we want to understand other pieces of the parsha, beginning with the intro to the parsha. The parsha begins with Hadlakas HaMenorah, the olive oil, which is should be used to kindle a menorah. What does that have to do with anything? I would argue that that is an intro to the Kohen narrative, because we know that kindling the menorah is a defining task of the Kohen. From where do we know that? Because later in Parshas Baalosa, when Aaron feels snubbed and neglected, he and his sheva weren't included in Chanukah Sanasim. What is the consolation to Aaron? Baalosa Saneris, you're greater than them, you will light the menorah. And on a deeper midrashic level, the menorah will reappear Hanukkah time with your children, the Chashmonon. Right? The menorah is a defining Kohen avodah, more so than the other avodas. It is in the kindling of the menorah that Aaron finds a sense of solace, a sense of purpose in being a Kohen. So it makes sense. The menorah is the intro to the parasha of the Kohanim. And certainly, the menorah, specifically the olive oil used for the menorah, which our parasha deals with, is very related to the essence of the Kohen. Because after all, the parasha later says it is shemen, as in shemen hamishkah, anointing oil, which makes it Kohen. And the theme of the menorah, which is of course what, Daniel? What does the menorah represent?
You can say Torah.
Chazal say, not just any people. Our ability to see the light, to become truly enlightened. So the Kohen leads us in that endeavor. Kisisse Kohen Yishvim Midas, Yoram Shmatach Liyakov, and so forth. So we get it, that the parasha does not deviate from focus. It sticks to the Kohen. It begins with the Kohen, introducing the Kohen with the Yoram, with the Minot. How about the end of the parasha? The parasha really has three parts. Olive oil for the menorah, induction of the Kohen, and then there is a final segment to our parasha. The final segment to the parasha is about the Mizbeach HaKetoras, the incense altar. Now, this is actually the narrative which throws all the Mefarshim off. The Ramban himself throws up his hands. What is the Mizbeach HaKetoras doing in the parasha's Tzatha? We would have all put it in the parasha's Truma with the other primary vessels. Hachitza, Shochan, and so forth. Right? What is it doing here? And Ramban gives an answer. But it's a compelling question. I am convinced it must be here because of the Kohen. It's the postscript to the induction of the Kohen, which we've traced as the greater theme of Parshas Tetzaveh. And I think I have to explain why. Because you remember in last week's Parsha, Rashi told us that the three crowns, there were three crowns in the Mishkan, right? There was a Zerzahav, a crown on the Aron, there was a Zerzahav crown on the Shulchan, and there's a Zerzahav crown on the Mizbeach Ketoras. These three crowns correlate to what? Says Rashi B'Shem Chazal, the Shlosha Kesarim, the three great crowns, the crown of Torah, the Aron, the crown of Torah, the regality of being a scholar, a Torah scholar, the Shulchan, which represents Parnassah and the material meats and Klal Yisrael breads, correlates to Keser Malchus, right? And all Yisrael's job is to provide for the material needs of the people. And finally, the Mizbeach Ketores, the incense altar, Zarzal, corresponds to what's his Rashi B'Shin Chazal? Keser Kahuna. It's a golden bond for the Rashi. I have no doubt that's why Parshas Tetzaveh is ending with the Mizbeach Ketores, right? The Mizbeach Ketores represents the role of the coming. And we can explain this in differing ways, including the fact that the 11 ingredients in the Ketores, the 11 Salmoni Ketores, Chazal understand correlate to the different types of Jews. Most famous is, of course, the Chelbana, the foul-smelling Chelbana in the mix, which represents Poshi Yisrael, that even they should be included. I would like it in Eretz Yisrael and in America. I hate to lecture, but we also remember it, yeah? No, we do believe no Jew left behind. Look at the Mizbeach Ketores, even the foul-smelling Chelbana. There is a joke, which isn't very nice. When there was once, Jews know how to fight, especially when politics are involved. And one time, someone tried to evict someone who was politically on another side. And the evictor was told, what do you mean? Chazal said, even the Chelbana is included in the Ketores, even Poshi Yisrael. He said, hey, this fellow who I want to throw out, he's from the Dvarim that we don't put in the Ketores of Bnei HaKavod. If you recall, it says in the Avodah Ketores, no urine, no Mereg line, Bnei HaKavod. So that was a real dig. That is not the Hashkafa of Chazal. It's been a smart aleck scholar, but not an Adelayid. The Ketores represents the different species of Kali, strongly inclusivity. Many suggest the fact that there are 10 plus the Chalim. It's the 10, the classic, Minyanar. Right, 10 Erlecha Jews, and then when you have a minion in place, you have the core community, now we can bring everyone in. But the point is, the Ketores, which blends all those 11 together, Maral talks about how the very fine Ketores indicates a blend of sorts. There's a blending because the particles are relatively small, so that's a blending of the different elements in Klal Yisrael. There's bad Ketores, there's a certain aroma of the unity of Klal Yisrael, particularly the way it wafts into the Kodesh Kedoshim, because that's our practice of the Mizbeach Ketores placed right outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, parallel to the Aron, with only the Parochas in between. So it is kind of Knesset Yisrael wafting in the Achdus, all Jews, including the Chelbana, in, and you can understand why that's a very Kohanic theme on many levels. Aron Shalom, Shalom, as we'll discuss soon, Aron was very much in touch with the common folk in Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, is the emissary of the entire Jewish people, Shluch HaTzidon. He represents the totality of Israel. So the big picture emerging here in my thesis to Parshas Tetzaveh is it's all about the Kohen. The body of the Parsha, as we said, is the middle of the Parsha, is the actual induction process. It begins with the oil for the menorah, which is Kohanic, and it ends with the Mizbeach Ketores, which is Kohanic. Fair enough? I want to solidify this theory with my bookends thesis. Those who attended my Parsha Shiur know that I believe in bookends in every Parsha. There's always a certain symmetry of bookends. So it must be the menorah in the beginning of the Parsha is symmetrical with the Mizbeach Ketores in the end of the Parsha. And that indicates it's in fact one theme in the Parsha. It's not disparate parts put together. It's one theme bracketing the Kohen theme in the middle. Well, here, the bookend theme is easy because the closing to the parsha, the Mizbeach Ketores itself draws correlation to the menorah. It's black and white. Listen to the text. The Chumash says, when are you to offer this Ketores? The hektir alav aron Ketores sam papoker bapoker. When in the morning does he bring the morning Ketores? Behetivo es haneros. When you do the hatava, when you clean out the menorah, that is the precise time that you are supposed to bring forth the Ketores and have it in the afternoon. When he lights it at night, being high volume in the afternoon, yaktirana, that's when you do the second Ketores. The Chumash itself says the Ketores is always brought along with the avodas haMenorah in the morning when you clean the menorah. That's when you offer the morning Ketores on the afternoon. When you're marked the menorah, that's when you bring the afternoon Ketores. You see how very clearly the Ketores at the end of a parsha aligns itself with the menorah. Right? On a very basic level, that is because these are the two brackets we're saying of the Kohen story, the Kohen correlations. In the oil, Shalchadar, Mishvolcham, Sha'ad, Mabuk, Mechbetz, and Eris. The Mizbeach, Ketores, Zerzov, Kohen connection. I'm going to argue, if I may use this imagery, this biological imagery, the menorah and the Mizbeach Ketores are the double helix, are the stuff of life of being a Kohen. And perhaps more on that later if we have time. The point is, I am settled now that this is the parasha all about the Kohen. And I'm going to argue the coming of Kohen, the distinct persona of being Aaron. So distinct is this spotlight on the Kohen Gadol persona, Kohen persona, that I'm going to argue it's to the exclusion of the most common protagonist of the Chumash. Who is the spotlighted protagonist of most of Chumash, if you have to pick one individual? And though he wishes it was him, it's not the guy giving the State of the Union address right now. He could pull that off and make himself the spotlight of the Bible. He would do it somehow. Yeah? And he'd find a way from Mexico to pay for it also. But who is actually the protagonist of most of Chumash?
Then if you Moshe. Know,
Moshe. Well, note that Sabbath, the one parasha, the Baal Torah points out where Moshe Rabbeinu, whose name is not mentioned at all. The one parasha post his birth in Shmos where he's not mentioned. And the Ramban explains, the Baal Torah explains the reason for that. And he says, when Moshe davens in next week's parasha, B'shas Ve'etal, or the aftermath of it, he says, Hashem, you better forgive him. Because if you don't forgive them, I refuse to appear in Chumash either. Mecheni no mi sefer ha'ashem kesavta. Now Hashem does forgive them. Right? Moshe threatens, as Rashi says, hey, I can't achieve atonement. I don't want to appear in the Chumash as an incapable leader who can't bail out his people from divine wrath, right? But there's this concept called Kelas Chacham Afilu Al Tzadik Ba. You know, the words of Chacham and Tzadik Moshe have weight even when they're conditional. It has to happen in some way. He said, potentially my name should be erased. So it was erased from the Torah, i.e. from one parsha in the Torah. The selected parsha is Tetzaveh, which is obviously going to be significant. Says the Ramban, that's because this is the parasha about the coming, and one of the major, call what you wish, I don't want to say skeletons in the closet, but meta issues or voids in Moshe's life is that he didn't become the Kohen Gadol, Aaron, his brother, did. And it's not a sibling rivalry problem. Moshe really believed he was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. There are indications in Chazal he could have been the Kohen Gadol. Certain mistakes he made at the snap, perhaps we'll dwell on them later. He lost the right to be Kohen Gadol. His brother had to become the Kohen Gadol. So this is the parasha, which is kind of the Kohen persona, what Moshe is not, right? Because it's the Kohen persona, and that's kind of Moshe great as he is, inclusive as he is, as the persona of the Chumash. This is the one thing he's not. So it's the parasha of the Kohen, which is the one parasha in which he is conspicuously avoided to reflect that void. Kohen means a vacuum of hope. That only underscores this Kohanic focus. But it really begs the question, what does it mean that Moshe's been voided here? What does it really mean that Moshe's statement, erase me from the Chumash if I can't achieve atonement for that? And that came to haunt him. He's voided from Parshas Tetzaveh. What does that mean conceptually? Doesn't it sound like a little of a sermon, superstitious, slip of the tongue? I mean, come on. That's not what he really meant. He said, Hashem, right? I don't want to appear in the Chumash and I can't achieve atonement. He does achieve atonement, right? Right? So he forgot to say a few disclaimers, a few most of what does before Hashem. I only mean the statement utterly and totally if my message is not successful. It seems like such a dogmatic, cosmic curse he gives himself. But what does it really mean? There must be a meaning here, right? He's voided from the Kohen parasha because he said, erase me from the Chumash if I can't achieve atonement. There must be an inherent significance to that, aside from a slip of the tongue and so forth. has to be a concept here. That's going to say something about what being a Kohen is and what Moshe is not. And I'm particularly intrigued because Moshe is so defined, the Chumash Torah's Moshe. For Moshe not to be here or to be understated is such a provocative observation, right? There has to be a satisfactory explanation how this can be part of the greater Torah's Moshe and for Moshe to be voided. That issue has to have proper justification, which it will when we understand the role of the Kohen. So let's make sense out of this. And before I make sense out of it, there's a greater irony here. While on one hand, this is the parasha in which supposedly Moshe does not appear, since the Kohen to the exclusion of Moshe, the Chumash highlights Moshe, not by name. What is the very opening word of the parasha? V'ata tzav. You! It begins with a finger pointing at Moshe. You! It's the only parasha that begins with a you pointing at Moshe. V'ata, and you command. And you be a commander. The true commander-in-chief. Right? V'ata tzav. You and be a commander. And this parasha supposedly understating Moshe, I find it to be so ironic that it begins with a you. Highlighting him big time, but not by name. And this irony is increased by the fact that the second narrative in the parasha begins with that same, or a later narrative in the parasha begins with that same vata. When you just scroll down all of two psukim, right after the atat tzav, the menorah, how does the big day kahuna passage of the Kohen? Yata, and you hacker Velacha Zara and Don with a big day call. Rabari, don't you hear the Viata? You, this parasha that Moshe's not here. It's Kohanic, it ain't him. It begins, you command, it begins, you bring close. And in case we didn't pick up on the theme, the Haftorah itself, which is Chazal's sensitive ear of the theme of the parasha, the Haftorah itself, which we seldom land, because it's generally Parsha Zahar, but when we do land the true Haftorah of Parsha Tetzava, it's a narrative from Yecheskel about the third base Hamikdash, which begins with Hashem telling Yecheskel, Ata Ben Adam, you son of man, go chastise the Jewish people and tell them about the third temple. It's not a coincidence that the Haftorah, seldom read Haftorah, begins with Ata, when it's a parasha with a lot of Atas. Yecheskel, the Navi, every Navi is a, conceptually speaking, offshoot of Moshe, right? Moshe's Avachol Nevi'im, Yecheskel is this mini Moshe, and the Haftorah begins with Atah, it's underscoring the theme, this is a parasha all about Atayu. So this supposed de-emphasizing of Moshe, think again, Moshe's writ larger over the parasha than you think. Is he here? Is he not here? So let's just throw that additional 10 minutes, though, because we have a lot to work out here. What is this role of the Kohen that on one level is so integral to Moshe's role, and on another level so different from Israel? So I'd really like to study for a moment and contrast the brothers, Moshe and Aaron, in their respective roles. Moshe is Ish HaElokim. Moshe is the supernal, ethereal man, not merely of this world. He's the only human being who ascends to Shemayim and then comes back to earth. His very name, Moshe, removed from water, according to the Maral, symbolizes that he's removed from this world because water is the substance of this world and life, and Chomer, physicality, he's removed from water, physical life, like Maral calls Chomer, he's a man from on high. I'm going to argue Aaron is very much a man of this world. Aaron, who's Oev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, and has the common touch with people, even simple people. Right? More so than Moshe, Chazal say. And we all know the Chazal, that when Moshe died, B'nai Yisrael mourned him, the men, not the women. When Aaron dies, Kol Beis Yisrael, even the women mourned him. He brought Shalom Bais. As Maral observes, that means on some level, Moshe was able to deal with the B'nai Beis Medrash, you know, the role of the men. thinkers, the characteristic role of men. Of course, there are individual women who are scholars, but as the Rambam writes, but characteristically speaking, the role of the men is more abstract, less practical, right? Mili d'shmaya rather than mili d'bayis, mili d'yama. Moshe was removed from the feminine realm, the concrete realm, the practical realm. I always love that joke, right? You know, the fellow who was a real macher, one of those guys who always remains a bacher, you know, with his impractical, you know, some machers like to hold forth. I think they solve all the world's problems just sitting around their dining room table and it doesn't, you know, in their delusional world. It's the guy who says, I got this one all worked out. I deal with the big issues in life, my wife deals with the little issues. I deal with world peace, nuclear proliferation, and she deals with the little issues like paying the bills each month, chinuch, educating the children, right? It's such a delicious lie. And we all know where the true meaning lies and who's up in the clouds and who's grounded on earth, right? That chazal, who's hope. In Mili Dishmaya, matters of the heaven up there, okay. Your wife should defer to you, but Mili Dialma, matters of this world, defer to her. But it's not a coincidence that Aaron has that touch with the women, with the practicality. Perhaps a very powerful reflection of this difference between Moshe and Aaron is the fact that Aaron is Moshe's speaker. Moshe's handicapped in articulation, low shivar. Aaron Yenaviacha, Aaron becomes a speaker. There has to be a symbolism there. I'm going to argue there are many pirushim why Moshe, the greatest of men, was handicapped in that one arena of speech. I'm going to argue on one level. Speech articulation is to take an idea and concretize it. Moshe was so in the realm of essence, reality, ideas, that to concretize it in words, to tether him down too much, would actually bring him down, would make him not Moshe. Aaron is his speaker, not simply his, not his speech writer, the ideas came from him. No, it was Moshe's ideas, the speaker, the articulator was Aaron, right? That's a very powerful illustration. Aaron was his, expressed his ideas into the world. Aaron was his narrator, Aaron was his implementer. It's actually interesting to note, without fully developing this idea, if you look in the Arachayim, Parshas Paros, he develops based on Chazal, that Moshe is called the Av of Klal Yisrael, and Aaron is called the Aim of Klal Yisrael. Right? Zohar talks about Moshe being the Av, the paternal figure. I, though Arachayim doesn't draw this Sushtal, I would link the Aaron feminine role to the Medrash, which tells us that Aaron is washing up Hirayim, pregnancy, birthing the people. It relates to this. Moshe is the father. The father deals with the general direction. The mother deals with the practical, right? Shema b'ni Musar avicha b'al tidush Torah simach. The father deals with the Musar, the Masorah, the direction. The mother deals with the Torah, the actual teachings. Right? His role is more conceptual, root, biologically. He gives the Zara, but she makes something real concrete out of it, and so forth. So Moshe deals with the ideas. He's the Av. Aaron is the implementer. Many other manifestations of this in Kabbalah. Some souls are kind souls, some souls are heaven souls. We've discussed in the past the Arizal's construct therein. The Hevel souls are generally more abstract, more ascetic. Hevel and smoke, Hevel and hole in this world is nothing. The Kain souls are very, very practical. Chavis is up on the birth of Kain. Kinesius is her welcome. She asserts himself. I've acquired a man. I give birth to a child. Such an assertion. Kain souls are generally more practical. And that schism between Kain and Hevel is the age-old schism for thinkers, visionaries, to jive with practical, linear engineers, as we've discussed in the past. Not surprisingly, the Arizal says Moshe is Nishmas Hevel, Aaron is Nishmas Kain, right? Moshe is conceptual, Aaron is his equivalent. Yin-yang in the practical arena. And there's a very nice indication of this Moshe-Aaron contrast in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which teaches us that in terms of conflict resolution, Moshe always said, Yikov hadin asahar, pure halacha. The litigants like it, they don't like it, halacha wins, you're chayav. While Aaron's approach was pshat, Aaron said, let's try to draw a compromise. Hopefully it won't come down to conflict resolution, halachic compromise, which hopefully let the two parties to a mutual compromise. We don't know what to do today. Try to have the parties agree on a tara, if not the halacha. Now that is very clearly this theme. Moshe is the man living in the ideal world, the world of Shemayim. The world of Shemayim is everyone should be observing halacha. And to people, please, we shouldn't deviate from that pristine model. If he owes him $100, he should be paying him whether he likes it or not. If that's what halacha, if that's what the divine truth indicates. That's the objective, pristine truth. However, Aaron, who's living in the world of Shalom, you might say, Shalom versus Amos, but in this world, the rigid, pristine, the rigid, absolute Amos is oftentimes not the winning position, but the Shalom position. And that's Pshat. And the Gemara therein, and the Maharshim to the Gemara insinuate that this difference between Moshe and Aaron has a lot to do with their two different roles in the Egel. Moshe, he has no role in this Egel. The contrary, he's in Shemayim. The angle happens because the people think he's not around, right? And when he comes down and he faces that angel, right? That angel does not have much of a future. That angel is pounded to dust very, very quickly, right? Aaron, on the other hand, he actually facilitated, much to his own chagrin and hesitation, the forming of the angel. To his eternal shame. He did it with Shem Shemayim. The people are going to do this anyway. I'm going to try to delay them. Isn't that a brilliant indication of Amos versus Shalom? Moshe, I'm a man of heaven. I have no connection to Avodah Zarah. Aaron, this is really Pshara. Let me make a compromise. It's happening anyway. Let me try to ameliorate the condition. It's very clear. This is what's playing out here. Moshe versus Aaron. Cohesive picture. I'm going to suggest when Moshe Rabbeinu stands up to the plate to be the defender of Israel, the Sanigar Yishal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mibardich, Hashem, please let them off. And Moshe says, if I can get this job done, take me out of the Chumash. Moshe says that, leaving open the possibility that he can't pull this off. Because Moshe actually does have a doubt if he could be the defender. Right? If in fact Moshe could be the Sanigar Yishal Yisrael without question, he wouldn't have to say, and if I can't, deal with that contingency. He says, and if I can't, there could be no consequence of expunging you from his book. Because he knows there's something he lacks. And it's not due to any liability on this point, quite the contrary. I'm going to argue. Great as Moshe Rabbeinu is, Oy Yisrael though he is, and he is the root soul of all of their souls, right? He's the Neshama Chalas. But can Moshe fully relate to Chadayga? Not at all. He can't be their defender when he totally doesn't relate to the Ego. In a certain sense, Aaron's a better Sanhedrin for the Ego. On so many levels, you can't help people unless can't relate. I'm going to argue in the emotional realm. If a person's a therapist and they find the patient to be articulating a position, they can't relate to that. They can't help the person. Much of therapy is what they call swinging, trying to enter the person on the other side's mindset while remaining tethered to your professional mindset. You can't do that, right? You're trying to enter the other person's mind. It's true spiritually as well. You can't be my Talmud if you can't relate to the Talmud's issues. There's a famous Hasid Shemaisa. I believe they say this as a Chabad Maisa, which is the second Rebbe, the middle Rebbe. Right? That there was once a Chassid who could body the Rebbe horrible favor he did or issue. And the Rebbe went sick. And he went sick thinking Cheshvan HaNefesh. He said, to hell this year, it has to be the Ives of Shaykhs for the Savior. And I don't know if anything about the middle Rebbe. He was an ascetic individual. And it was apparently very, very hard for him to find that any sort of shyness that appeared in himself. I mean, like, he introspected and so on. To be a rabbi, you have to do that, right? If you can't relate to the Talmud, you're not going to be able to help the Talmud. So I'm going to argue, Moshe Rabbeinu, as Ishalokim, who's totally antithetical to Hegel, in a certain bechina, in ayin mechinina misefracha, he says it this way, because there is a certain garbage on this. In the big picture, overall, he gets the job done. He's Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the neshama klalus. As we've discussed on other occasions, he's able to bring out that in the core, deepest place, even the yidden. It wasn't really their Aveira, it was the Eir of Aveira. The core Jew was true. Moshe's job in that story is to bring out the essential purity of the Jew. But whatever tenuous relationship they have to the Eikel, in a certain sense of honor, it's better qualified to deal with the issue. So I'm going to argue that's the genius of the system. Aharon has Kohen Gadol Mishka. To a large degree, Chazal said the Mishka was to be the Haker of Chet HaEikel. Aharon is his, Moshe's Delta deputy. You deal with the mess. You deal with the mess. Right? I, Moshe, can't. You deal with the mess. So it is specifically Parshas Tetzaveh, the Parsha of the Kohanim, in which Moshe is removed. It's not this, what do we call it before, superstitious slip of tongue, no, not this corresponding to a truth. There is a realm in which Moshe cannot be the Mechaper himself. He needs a delegate, he needs Aaron, that's Parshas Tetzaveh. And in that realm, Moshe does not have a place. And I want to bring up a corroborating clue. I'm really suggesting to you tonight that Moshe's inability to be the Kohen Gadol was because he's not the speaker, he's not the implementer. That's Aaron. I want to bring this out from the story of the snap, the burning bush. You recall in the burning bush, Moshe and his humility, he's very, very hesitant to assume leadership. And what is the major reason, what is the major chisaron Moshe sees in himself, the major handicap? Lovish Dvar Menoch. As per our explanation, it's not simply a speech issue. It's a much deeper issue. He's saying, I'm not a man of this world, I can't be a man of the people. And at a certain point, Moshe says, Shalech b'yateshlach. Hashem, why don't you just give this one over to the man who's been doing these sort of things, the leadership things, Tona, which Rashi says means Zahra. Hashem angrily tells Moshe, v'yicharach, and he says, yeah, it's going to be Aaron. To a degree, Aaron's going to be your speaker. Aaron, yeah, v'yacha. And Chazal say, hey, he got angry at Moshe. Anytime Hashem gets angry, k'v'yachara, it means there's some implications to the anger. That's why Moshe lost being Kohen. Aaron Achicha Levi, he should have been a Levi, you would have been a Kohen. No, 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 no. Because you gave up, because you were so obstinate, you don't want to be Kohen Aaron, you don't want to be leader Aaron should, that's why he's becoming the Kohen. Now, here we have seemingly a whole different basis for Moshe not to be the Kohen Gadol. Moshe's not the Kohen Gadol. Because of the Sna, he had conniptions, he had self-doubt, really, about his ability to be a speaker. Is that the reason why he wasn't Kohen Gadol? Like, what's the meat that connected me? If Moshe's the appropriate Kohen Gadol, because he's overly humble, Hashem Stam punishes him and says it should be Aaron, because he was obstinate and refuses Hashem's request, there must be a deeper meaning. Well, now you see exactly what's going on. Now it all makes sense. Now it all comes together. Yes. Because Moshe is so hyper-conscious of the fact that he's not a speaker Aaron is, that's why he can't be Kohen Gadol. To be a Kohen Gadol, which is to be Mechaper for the Chet HaEgel and so forth, you have to be tethered to this world. That's what the issue which the Rebbe had. Anyone who knows a little Chabad history, they know that was the major issue with Chabad. Anyone here who knows the history, in terms of the Olitz V'Shah Chassidim, the Balatar, you true, many, many Chassidim, the Mittler, who was much more ascetic and not a man of the people, many Chassidim left him and actually joined another Rebbe, and they were Maharish to show you, who was much more a man of the people, and he was Geshmak, along with the Balatar and his guidance. Then in the days of the Tzemach Tzedek, who was a little more unbalanced, back to a little more of the populism along with the inflection of Hasidim came back. Right? But no, it's the myth, if you're not a man of the people because he was so ascetic and otherworldly, it's very, very hard to relate to people's sins. That's the Moshe Rabbi. And then Moshe's perfection. It's Moshe, that is Moshe's role. And And that's the beauty of this model. Aaron became the Kohen Gadol versus Moshe because Moshe's insisting he can't be a speaker while he's learning.
Okay.
But I'm going to suggest Moshe didn't really lose the role. Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol means. The essential role of the Kohen Gadol has to emanate from Moshe's holiness. If you're just a man of the people and you don't have Moshe's Kedusha, you can't really tell the people, you can't be Bible. Right? Aaron is only successful in the trenches because he's Moshe's deputy. And that's why the Chumash stresses the Atah Tetzaveh in the Parasha of the Kohen. You command. And then the Atah HaKrevna, and as we trace in the Atah Rakov, Atah Berata. It's really about you, Moshe, and you're the commander-in-chief. You're not going to be mentioned by name because you are not going to be serving the Kohanic role. You're not going to be in the trenches cleansing the people, dealing with the people's swords and issues. You're not going to be highlighted by name. You're not going to be in the spotlight, but you're actually going to be the commander of Yatot and Tzavavat Tohakra. For some reason, this reminds me of a recording once heard. This was a Kiruv convention of sorts. And the panel, I don't know if there were other members of the panel, this was actually one of those old audio tapes I heard that antiquated, right? Back in the days of the dinosaurs, right? We listened to such things in my youth. So it was a Kiruv convention. Apparently on the panel, Rav Weinberg was on the panel, he was frequently a Das Torah in the Kiruv, and Rav Michal Torsky, the major Kiruv figure, a great man. Me and his wife represent Bagel for a very long time. They were both in the panel. And Rav Weinberg gave over a whole deep hashkaf of what we really wanted to do in Kiruv. And then he said at the end, but you want to know really how to do it? Implement everything I'm saying? Now listen to Rav Michal's drasha. Rav Michal was actually a talmid of Rav Weinberg before he went to Lake Mead Seminary, Yisrael, I don't know, it's in the 50s or something. And it was very clear from the exchange, Rav Weinberg was like, I'm giving you the hashkaf of the philosophy. But the practical do, Rav Michal is the better of Makar. To me, it was very corroborating that someone with true Das Torah knows his place also. Right? The Emes HaGadol doesn't mean that he thinks he can do everything better than anyone else and he's going to try to be the doctor and the therapist. And again, exchanges I've seen the greater Rabbanim are Makaris Makom when they know they're giving the Hashkafa. They don't try to play therapist. They send the person to the therapist. It's a little bit sensitive issue. I've heard from both sides. When they feel there's a little bit of overreach. Okay, that's a human dynamic. When we have collaborations, I feel it's a fascinating thing. Torah and mental health, Torah and... I am not going to reveal details. A certain rav in town and a certain obstetrician in town dealing with fertility halacha. It was clear to me from their exchange they had some tussling over that. Each one feeling the other one is stepping over their bounds. But I will not reveal details. It was very revealing to me. But... That's Moshe, that's Aaron. That Rav Weinberg and Rav Michal, it was so clear. Rav Michal, he said right in the beginning, he was Mavat himself, Rav Weinberg is my Rebbe, and then Rav Weinberg finished. You want to know the practical, know how Rav Michal's going to tell you how to do it. That's Moshe, that's Aaron. It's the Atah, it's all the Moshe, it's all the Rav Weinberg. Right? But the implementer, who's by name, is the Aaron. And I would suggest my thesis tonight of the Atah Tetzaveh v'Atah HaKrev, but Aaron's the implementer. This is all borne out in the Medrash Rabbah. One on the words, Yatah HaKrev, not in the Parasha, the Medrash talks about that Moshe wanted to be Kohen. On the words Yatah, it mentions that Moshe wanted to be the Kohen. It's breaking out. Moshe's the commander-in-chief of the Kohen, Yatah. This role was really shaykh to him in theory, not in practice. And the Medrash Rabbah talks about, in our Parasha, the many different leadership roles. It talks about we have Kohanim, we have Sofrim, Dayanim. I believe that's all the theme here, that there on the Vata, there could be healthy delegation of roles when they're emanating from the core commander-in-chief, the Moshe. And finally, I believe it's significant that in that same passage of Medrash Rabbah, it talks about how Moshe modeled being a Kohen. Moshe was the Kohen for the first week of the Milon, and the Medrash then brings that opinion that for the first 40 years, he was kind of fulfilled sometimes. The The Medrash in this context of Vata, Moshe being the commander in chief of the Kohen, is speaking about how Moshe actually modeled the role. That's because the role of Kohuna must begin from Moshe. I'm going to argue any implemented role in Klal Yisrael must begin from the Gadol. Those who are doing Torah and mental health, they have to do Makaris Makarma, right? They have to recognize they're using their knowledge of psychology to implement Hashkafas HaTorah, as our Rabbanim have taught us, as our Moshe Rabbeinu have taught us. And likewise in every single field. But when there's a healthy balance here in Hakar of roles, who is the visionary of the project and who's the implementer, then the whole thing works. And I believe that is the greater theme of Parashas Tetzaveh. What does this have to do with Parah? That's the question you've been waiting for. Now, Tzivya?
Yeah.
Well, this Parasha, which almost always is before Parah, is the one Parasha absent the shame of Moshe. You probably could guess. It's eerie, the Megillah is the book which does not have the name of Hashem. But yet, we have a very interesting Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara's Darshan in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Tachas Anatzot Yal Brosh, Tachas Sirpa Yal Hadassah. Explains that Pasuk between Mordechai replaced Haman's role, became the prime minister in his place, the viceroy in his place, Esther replaced the role of Vashti, and that continues with their words. Leos lo l'shem, to be a name, Zunekar Megillah. And I've always thought it's such an irony. The Megillah, the book in which Hashem does not appear, is called the name. And that's, of course, the greater irony of part of Hashem's most absent, he's really most apparent. Overtly, Hashem's totally not there. What do you mean in the previous Hadvarim, the Megillah is all about, you see, Hashem's writ larger than life? That's the whole irony of Purim, where the name of Hashem is not apparent, the name of Hashem is most apparent. I'm going to suggest that's our fear time in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Parsha in which Moshe's name is not at all apparent. It's all about him. V'yata, v'yata, v'yata. It's all you. You're the commander-in-chief. Just like Hashem, the operation of this world, is working through a veneer. Moshe, Parshas Tetzaveh, it's all about him. He's just working through a veneer. He's just working through. Aaron? There is a divine source which is running everything. Sometimes there are some pawns or delegates in it. It's true of Hashem running the world in the Megillah story. It's true of Moshe Rabbeinu running the great Jewish project. May we all be Zocha in terms of all of our roles in Israel. Oh, and one more point. One more point, I'll say. For those who have to go to Maariv, please do so. One more point before I give the final bracha. Right? That's going to be the bracha that we should all merit to be with our practical know-how, implementers, irons of the tasks from our Gedolim, from our Moshe Rabbeinu, from our teachers and our source. I want to suggest one final point. Remember we mentioned how the parasha's bookends, beginning with the menorah and ending with the Mizbeach Ketores, indicates there's some sort of linkage there, deep linkage between the Kohen lighting menorah and the Kohen lighting Mizbeach Ketores. I believe it's related to this theme of implementing in the real world ethereal teachings, the power in implementing the motion teachings, the theme of parasha's Tetzaveh. You know why? Because, as the Maharal explains, the true Torah is the Torah that's in the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Torah in the Ark. That's the previous Torah. The Menorah, which is a visible R and outside the Kodesh HaKadosh, it's the Torah's Nigla, it's the revealed Torah, which is reflecting the deep previous Torah, and that's why the Maharal explains R of the Menorah is related to the word Aron. It's the revealed Aron, Torah's Nigla's revealing Torah's Nistar. While Haludamar, that the Mizbeach Ketores wafts into the Kodesh Kadosh, right? I'm going to suggest the linkage to the menorah is as follows. When the menorah is revealing Torah's Nigla, a rational Torah, real life issues in Torah, Torah and psychology, Torah and halacha, right? But when it's tethered to the ethereal source in the Aron, which is what the menorah is doing, that ensures that we never lose contact with our sacred source, with our Kodesh Kadosh. And that's why when there's a menorah, there then could be a Mizbeach Katoris, the spiritual force of the menorah, which tells us that the ethereal Torah of the Kodesh Kadosh emanates outwards but never loses its source, then allows that we could continue to enter the Kodesh Kadosh through the Mizbeach Katoris, this yin-yang. We are always anchored to the penis, to the Kodesh Kadosh, even when we engage in real life issues. A Torah menorah, a Torah that deals with the external world, always remains tethered to the Kodesh Kadosh, as evident by the fact that right after you light the menorah, you then are marked with Mizbeach Katoris to left, right into the Kodesh Kadosh. The Kohen is asserting, though I am dealing with real life issues in Torah, it is reflecting the aura of the Kodesh Kadosh, as evident by this incense, which at that very moment he burns, which then wafts its way into the Kodesh Kadashim. Right, when we have the Moshe and the Aaron, the ethereal with the practical, then we have a model of success. May we all be Zocha, all of us, in our realms in life, in the trenches, dealing with real world issues, to do our jobs well, to be men of the people, to be practical men of this world, while always remain tethered to our sacred source. That is the message of the parasha. Amen. Can you hear me? That's all.